Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of From the Field. I'm Will Haverkamp.
I'm Joe Jurisic.
And today we're excited to introduce to you our guest is Nick Carlson. He's the founder and inventor of MulchMate. You may have seen him on social media rocking his brand or recently on the Equip show floor, showcasing his power lineup of equipment and accessories designed to make the life of the landscape pro that much easier and efficient. So we're all about innovators here at From the Field. So today we want to dig a bit deeper with Nick, hear his personal story, and find out what makes this guy's world go round. So without further ado, Nick, how are you, my friend? It's great to have you join us today.
Well, Joe, great to be on the show with you, and thanks for the invite. It's an honor. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, let's jump right in. For those that don't know you, tell us how you got your start in this industry, why you love what you do, and what keeps you so driven towards success.
Well, I guess as a young man, I just looked for anything to do, and I was actually serving ice cream as a 15-year-old and couldn't stand it. Not an ice cream fan. But my father just said, "Hey man, why don't you go try cutting some grass?" And I didn't live in like a neighborhood. I lived in an area where properties are 2.5 acres plus, and all we had was a little push mower. And I went out and started push mowing grass and built up some resilience. And at the same time, I was rebuilding a 64 and a half Mustang at a very young age. I bought for like $800 out of a newspaper, and I needed some money to buy some sheet metal. And so I was like learning how to fabricate all my own, self-taught on that car, at the same time trying to grow this landscape business and just trying to make enough money to restore this car. And that was it. That was the only thing that was really driving me back then.
You still have it, chance? Just curious.
What's that?
You still have the car?
I do. I do. I can probably share a photograph. I can search through my phone while we're talking, but I needed like $900 to get enough sheet metal for this car back then. Today it'd probably be like $10,000 worth of sheet metal, just with the way the world is nowadays. This was over 20 years ago, and there's a swap meet up in Pennsylvania where I'm from Maryland, and I needed to bring this $900 with me to buy enough sheet metal to be able to restore this car so I could avoid freight costs. And so I don't know, I don't remember the exact time, but it was like 2 or 3 months between the time I started really cutting grass and doing landscaping to this show. And I was so scared to not have enough money to be able to buy the sheet metal I needed. But by the time I showed up at this swap meet, I had over $3,000. So for a 15-year-old, I'm thinking, look at me go, right?
Rolling deep,
And
plus living high on the hog.
I was, man. I was like, look, we're buying funnel cakes for everybody where we're at the swap meet.
All right, awesome.
And showed up, bought everything I needed plus some, and I looked at my dad. And I'm like, how did I do that? And he goes, you just kept your head down. You didn't count your money every single day. You just said, do the work, just get it done, and you'll blink, and next thing you know, you're gonna have plenty of money. And that's what happened. And from there, I was also racing stock cars at the time. I think at the time I was racing Legends cars. If you Google Legends cars, you'll see what they are. They're old 30 style little race cars, really fun. Taught me a lot in that series as well. And I just want enough money to fund the racing and try to make it to the next tier and make it to the highest level, which I never officially made in NASCAR. But I had fun doing it, met a lot of people, really honed a lot of skills that no college, no job could ever have taught me. I learned perseverance, and it was I wouldn't trade it for the world.
It's a drive to win, right? The competitive nature from within.
Absolutely.
No, that's killer.
That's awesome.
Joe is a little personal. He likes to talk about his local Grundy County Speedway. I'll let him take the I'll let him tell the story, if you will, but he's into racing as well.
Oh yeah, no, that's we're I got a I'm part of a race team. We got super lates and we've got mid-AM sportsmen's whatever. And I will agree. I mean, like racing, when you put the helmet on, when you get into it, you are dedicated, you are focused, and it does help give you, like Will said, that drive to a clear path. And looks like you took that and put it back into the business side of things. And racing is not cheap, as you know. It is not cheap at all. So I think, like I said, it was a blessing to you to have that to help move it forward. And then also then, you know, the fabrication skills to do what you're doing today, which is awesome. Like, you know, we were talking, you know, your products, you can take existing platforms and work in your product. That's huge. I mean, you know, when going back to that cost savings, you don't have to start with some big, crazy new machine. You can take what you have and roll. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the industry is hard enough as it is. It's very barbaric. Yeah. And when we first started with MulchMate, one of the biggest comments I got was, well, I don't want to buy a single use item.
Yep.
Well, that doesn't make any sense because a mower is a single use item, or a string trimmer, or a shovel, right? It's all, you dig a hole with a shovel, mow grass with a mower. And I'm not one to get frustrated with people. I try to listen to them. I try at least. And I heard them loud and clear. And I said, well, okay, let's look around and see what you got. And thinking about it, a mower is just two platforms. It's cutting grass, it's blades, right? And then it's a powertrain. Mm-hmm. Well, if the mower is not using the blades, you've got at least 50% of the power available to use. And so that's when we developed the CartMate and the SnowMate. Just to try to help utilize things you already have. And it all spurred from people kind of naysaying things. And I said, well, okay, I'll fix it. And that's just how all that came to be.
That's very cool. I mean, we could jump right into the MulchMate piece. I checked out your lineup. I actually saw, your setup at Equip. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that was a great show for you guys. You guys had a nice spread. Just to see that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that the MulchMate DS1000, that's the trailer, correct?
The DS1000 is the MulchMate itself. The okay. DMT is the trailer itself.
That thing is and a beast, Nick.
Is that not the biggest trailer? Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah. So the way all this worked out was, and I get this all the time, why are things built the way they're built? And so you have to think, I'm not Toro. I don't have a name. I don't have 1,000 engineers on staff. It's me. Starting off, it was just me, right? And I was just a landscaper. So why does anybody want to believe in what I'm doing? Because most of the time, most people don't have the ability to run fiber lasers or CNC machines or press brakes or powder coating. All that's mythical unicorn stuff. To even a racer, even a guy like me. When I started this, it was going to be an angle grinder and a welder. And that was it. That's all I knew. You know, kind of crazy to think about today that I actually had the, I was just stupid enough to think I could pull it off, but I knew I'd learn along the way. But, you know, when it came down to a product, how am I going to gain your trust, the end user, the guy that's going to spend his hard earned money and believe in this product? And my whole thing this entire time was, no matter where you looked on our machinery, no matter what decal you saw, no matter the documentation, the packaging, the shipping, the feelings that left you in marketing, all of it had to be perfect. Yeah. If one single thing was out of place, your subconscious mind would go, eh, and it would leave a door open for you to step away and not purchase it. And so I had to make every single detail as refined as I possibly could have. And so when you look at the DMT trailer in your head, it's just like, oh. Well, the reason that was how many dump trailers are manufactured every year? Probably what, millions?
Yeah.
So yeah. What was going to be different about ours, right? It had to be so over the top and so well thought out and just undeniable. And that's been our approach with every product, and every single thing was make it undeniable.
That's awesome. But
I think the other thing too that you bring in is your previous experience. It's not like, you know, you came into this industry trying to make a quick buck. I mean, you know, you've been through it. You understand you're solving a pain point. These guys are going through lack of labor, like, you know, their backs are giving out. People are retiring later. They're staying in it longer. And, you know, having a well-built piece of equipment that saves you time in today's market is huge. I mean, if you're not efficient and you're not making money, you're just, you know, you're pretty much just wasting your body at that point. So, yeah, the fact that you come, you know, with experience and you know how heavy duty it has to be, because, you know, you might have hit the trailer once or twice with a skid steer or a bucket, and you got to know that you got to have it to be, you know, built well to withstand that, because stuff happens. No one's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, humans make mistakes. I mean, that's just what we do. I don't know if you can see it. There's a scar on my face. Big, it's probably about 4 inches long. I got hit with a bandit 250 XP wood chipper in 2014 and broke my mandible on my face clean off. So I've got 10 screws and two plates of steel or titanium, really, holding my face together. And that experience taught me. So I'm a big guy. I'm 6'3", 245 pounds. I'm not a little guy, even though I just lost 100 pounds. And when I broke my jaw, it really, really sunk in that I had to stop being Mr. Macho at 28 years old. And I had to start really getting smart because my body was just, it was failing. I just couldn't do what I did. And too many of these guys, there's one guy that's real big on social media. He's a young guy, not huge, but he's just like, oh, I'm just going to work solo the rest of my life. And I'm like, you plan on having kids? Oh yeah, we're trying right now. Okay. So what happens when you break your ankle, right? Walking through a yard, just pushing a wheelbarrow around. What happens? Okay, now you can't be there for your wife, can't be there for your kid, and you're not making money. So what are you going to do then?
Right?
Or what happens when you're 45 or 50 and you have skin cancer because you haven't been taking care of your skin wearing, you know, sunblock, and you now end up with skin cancer? So this industry could be as easy or as hard as you make it to be. Mm-hmm. And so my whole thing this whole time has been, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. The job's hard. But it's also, let's make some solutions that makes it a lot easier. And every time I turn around, I'm trying to do that. And that's been, I think it's been pretty obvious with every product we've released.
Yeah. Well, you started, this thing started what, 2017, if my research serves me right. Is that correct?
That's about when we hit the market with the products. I started in 2000, what was it? Broke my jaw in 14, bought a Turf Tech bed edger, and that revolutionized our bed edging process. It took my entire company like 3 months to do all the edging for all of our commercial and residential properties, and I was able to reduce it down to a two-man crew, and we did it in a quarter of the time.
Wow.
Quarter. So when I did that in 15, I started looking around going, what else are we missing here? Right. Yeah. And I think it was the end of 15 or it was the end of 15 or 16 when the Multiman idea hit me. I was just at dinner with my family, and I was like, wow, what if we built something like this? This could really save a lot of time, and not just the one guy in the back of the truck shoveling, or guys not getting in the truck shoveling. When you walk up the back of the truck and try to fill a wheelbarrow up, A, it's a daunting task. Mm-hmm. Your hands are typically over your shoulders because it's high, right? Or you're shoveling off the ground and you're bent over. So either way, the level of strain you're seeing or your people are seeing is through the roof.
Yeah.
And so you either want to save your own body or you want to reduce the liability and up morale with your own guys. And so when I saw all this and started testing it, whenever the machine worked, when I was doing all the prototyping and testing, my guys were... they were different human beings. I mean, it was incredible. And then when the machine would fail, and when it failed, it sounded like a bomb went off. Just, I wish I had videos of it. It literally would shake the ground when the machine would break. The guys would just, they would moan a lot. When's the Multimate coming back? When are you going to fix it? Go fix that thing. Stop selling jobs. Fix the Multimate. We want it back. And that was just so obvious to me that I was on the right path. And from there, it just snowballed. It was pretty incredible.
I could say easily that, you know, every contractor out there could use it. You know, it's when I was in the contracting seat for a good 10 years, and that was the way we did it. We shoveled everything off the back. You were lucky to have, I worked for a bigger company. We had some, you know, dump beds and things that had hydraulic lifts, but a lot of these guys don't have it. And they're shoveling and pushing it out the back, and it's like, you know, 5 yards of material. It's like, you got to be kidding me. These guys are breaking their back and you know, whatever. It doesn't make sense, you know?
Well, it doesn't. And what I get a lot of people say is, well, why don't I just use a mini skid? Well, I'm old enough to remember when mini skids came out, and people hated them. I mean, just shunned them for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. Now, all of a sudden, they're using them for transporters. I'm going, well, hold on. It holds like 3 cubic foot or something. It's not very much volume, and you're using a tool that's meant to dig, to either a transport or $20,000 or $30,000 machine that could be out making big money doing paper patios and all that to do some simple mulching. Are you for real? Like, I get why you did it, because it's easier than shoveling. So you admitted the problem, but your execution of it was poor, right? Or guys that use blowers. Like, I don't have anything against a blower, but let's talk about the facts of a bark blower. The cheapest one is like 75 grand. It holds a yard and a half. You fill it with a yard and a half, it clogs. Then you have a 250-foot hose, so you're limited on the length. My property alone is 900 foot wide. That's how wide my property is. So it's never going to work for the whole entire property, right? So you have a hose, you have a trailer, you have tags, you have tires on the ground. You can't fill it with anything other than premium mulch. If it is wet, forget it. If you get any kind of debris in it, it will damage the locker, the air locker in it, which is like a $20,000 fix. And you have to bring, guys typically bring skid loaders to a job site. They dump a huge pile somewhere and they're filling it. So by the time you tow a truck or use a truck to tow the skid loader on a trailer, a driver, the bark blower itself and a truck to tow that, you've got like $300,000 on a piece of property that you could have had a $34,000 mulch made on.
There it is.
Yeah, and that's
one of my questions was, what's the unit cost on it? So
Right now it's 34 grand.
Okay.
Yep. So you put it on like a back of a 450 or a 550, and that whole unit can fit into a parking space, right? That's the thing. You're reducing the wheelbarrow runs. It's not just a bulk material dispenser, which, by the way, everybody asks me, what is mulch make? It's a bulk material dispenser. It's not a mulch dispenser. It's a bulk material dispenser. That's the category that that we're creating that it lives in. Okay. And a lot of people don't realize how right outside of my office right here, there's a big mulch bed that goes all across the parking lot. And the company that comes in and does it brings a bark load. It will be here for 5 hours putting down mulch that would have taken us 20 minutes.
Right.
And these guys are misapplying, you know, a product that has a place, and they're pulling it out of its place and putting it somewhere it doesn't belong. And that's when I came up with mulch. I was like, oh my God, I think we just invented like the F-150 of our industry.
Yeah.
It's really what it was. And I couldn't believe when people started pushing back, and then like Brightview, for instance, Brightview owns a bunch of our units and they've only had them for a year. And they told me at the Equip Expo last week, whatever that was, a week or two ago, Nick, it saves in production 50 to 75%.
That's incredible.
If I advertised that, people would laugh me out of the building and say, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, yeah. People be like, "Hey, you're full of it."
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's Brightview, and they're not managing their systems. They're not doing a great job training. I watched them. They just threw this machine at them and said, "Go," right? And it still performed the way it did. I mean, it's just I'm blown away by the numbers it can produce.
Kudos to you for making something that's literally just like I said, throw it in the truck and roll. People don't get training. A lot of companies, and some do it really well. Some train extremely well. Others, they're like, yeah, go do this, and then waltz away because they've got 15 other things on their plate.
Yep.
And the fact that you can give them something right out of the box to press the button and roll, and they're, you know, they're not humping all this, you know, material around. That's huge.
Well, and okay. So not only that, so we have done things. Like we have a device. It's a circuit board in our machine. We call it the SEPD device. It stands for Stupid Employee Protection Device. And I'll admit it because it's funny and it's true. We all have guys that just don't think, right? So what do? We have to implement an automated system that'll do it for you or for them, right? And so if you go on our website, there is a free online training course that you can watch a 25-minute video of me telling you the do's and the don'ts and how to run MulchMate, and then a 47-question certification test in English and real Spanish, okay? And the guys can go on it for free, 365, 24/7, and take that and come in and show it to the owner and say, boss man, I've taken the test. Here's the printed out deal. I know what I'm doing. So now the guy feels more comfortable because he's properly trained consistently, just like the rest of his coworkers. The owner doesn't have to deal with training them over and over. It reduces his liability, and it reduces our liability on the manufacturing side because I've given you the proper tools to properly operate the machine. So what other company have you ever heard do that?
Yeah. What was the evolution of that? When did you figure out that was going to be a huge value add for you?
Year one. So the SEPD device came out year one. I had a company down in Virginia, And they brought the truck up to us. I installed the machine, which we typically don't do. Year one, we did a lot of it because nobody knew what the heck they were doing outside of us. So we were trying to help with that process. We were doing a lot of learning at the same time. And this gentleman took his truck back, and day one broke it. I'm like, how did you do that? And so he brought it back. I fixed it for him for free, of course. Took it back again, broke it again. I'm like, okay. All right, no one else is doing this. What is going on? So very, very confused. I'll be very polite, very confused. So I said, look, bring it back again. I'll fix it. But tomorrow, what time do you get to your shop? And he goes, 7 o'clock. I said, okay, I will be there at 6:30. I show up with donuts and coffee at 6 o'clock. They've already got the truck loaded. They've already broken it for a third time. And I'm like, here's your coffee and donuts. I don't know what to do with you. I'm very, very frustrated. And so I take the machine back. I look it over and I go, holy crap. They literally want to sabotage this machine. They don't want it. They don't want it. Whenever you see a new, like say you go into Home Depot and they implement a new system, right? What does everybody do? They complain because it's different. It's new. It's frustrating to learn. You just don't know what to turn left or turn right or what button to push or whatever. And so that's what I was running into. I said, okay, well, how do I fix that? How do I reduce the barriers and help these guys? And so we created the SEPD, which all I was asking the customer to do was take the joystick, push it down. And then when the conveyor belt got a little too full, just push it up and it would just clear the belt. They couldn't do it. They simply couldn't push a joystick up. That's all I asked. They couldn't do it. So this SEPD, what it does is it allows the material to flow into the mulch mate. It will regulate it, stops the load from proceeding. It clears the machine out, and then it brings in a little bit more, and it clears it out. And it does all this automatically with this SEPD device, right? So I cured that. But then everything else that they would do that was silly, instead of me having to speak it over and over and over, we just put it in test form. And so my voice is being heard, and they can just press play instead of calling me and me having to explain it 1,000 times to thousands of people every year. And so that, again, that's an automated system. And where this thought process came from was a book called The E-Myth. I don't know have you guys ever read The E-Myth?
Yeah, I did some research on you, and that's something you highlighted. So yeah, let's hear about that.
So The E-Myth, it's based, so I always read just the generic version because you never know what business you're going to be in. So I don't like to pigeonhole myself. There's like a contractor's version. There's a landscape version. There's a bunch of different versions. I just read the basic business one. It's all about this person that bakes pies. And she's in there and she's working every day and she's wanting to make the best pie in the world. And she finally does. She makes this great pie and everybody wants to buy it. And they're coming in there. And her love of baking pies turns into this high anxiety, high pressure thing that all it's doing is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and she can't control it. And there's no systems to automate. And when she trains somebody, she gets them in place, and all of a sudden they leave. And then she does it again. And so all she's done is she's created herself a job, is all she's done. And that's what a lot of people do. I've done it, right? So I can speak on guilty as charged, right? So what the book teaches you after about, well, I did it in CD form. I know I'm old. There's about 7 CDs. I think the first 5 will depress you because it tells you everything you've done wrong your entire life and how the whole world's teaching you wrong. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I can listen to these final 2 CDs that are going to get any better. And so I finally finish it. And basically it teaches you the way I visualize it, I wish I had a hat near me. Imagine wearing a baseball hat, and there's a title on it. It says, you know, packaging guy. And there's another hat on top of that one, and it says engineer. And there's another one on top of that that says, you know, building maintenance guy. And so you end up stacking all these hats on top until they're so high they fall over. Right? It's a tower, if you will. And it teaches you to systematize a certain section of your business, take that hat, and be able to hand it to someone and say, here, go do your job. I have this thing I call stay in your lane. And so it teaches you how to recognize all those different parts, core parts of your life, whether it's business or personal, and then go, well, how do I just make it easier on myself? Really, just kind of being lazy, but smart. And so that's the E-Myth teaches you how to automate your life and put a system in place, yeah. Not just say create a system, but actually how to do it. And once I did that, my whole world completely changed, and here we are. I mean,
yeah,
I grew an 8-figure business in under 4 years with literally 3 guys.
Wow,
it's incredible.
Yeah, and I'm 36, so I'm a pup.
Okay. What does your business look like? How's your staff? Like, is it still just you three, or is there more than that?
No. So, okay. Here's a perception that I disagree with. Lots of people judge the success of a business on how many people they employ. I base it off of the quality of people I employ, and actually the less you have and the higher the number, the better the business is, the healthier the business is. So there's only 6 of us in this company right now. We are deep in the 8 figures every year, growing at an exponential. Last year, we were up 300% last year. This year, we hit that number by May. And we are on a higher trajectory now than we've ever been. So I've heard a number from very large manufacturers I spoke to, and they say, if you can make $1 million per employee, you're doing really well. Well, we are more than double that. And our anxiety levels are completely fine. No one's stressed out. We wake up and come to work. We don't work overtime, and it's growing. So that's the best way I can tell you without telling you the exact P&L sheet.
Are you guys doing all your own manufacturing too?
The bulk of it. We still outsource some of the lasering, some of the CNC press breaking, do some turret punching. Turret punch is basically a punch that just punches holes. And stuff. It's a faster way, very little consumables. We do a lot of tube cutting in-house, ton of welding, ton of powder coating. All the marketing is done in-house, all the digital design, all the engineering, all the FEA testing. FEA is finite element analysis testing. It's basically where you take, like, these are my sunglasses, right? So you hold it on two ends and you press, and it will bend that part in the computer and tell you when is it going to break. So we do that testing with electrical, we do it with metal, we do it with plastics, we do it with everything, and we see how long it will take to break something.
Has any of the supply chain issues slowed you guys down as far as?
For sure. What it's done is I've got so much of my capital that should be in the bank sitting on the shelf back there, right? So where normally I could order, let's say, a motor. Right, a motor for a mulch mate would typically take me 6-8 weeks to get. Well, now it's taking 32 weeks.
Wow.
Right. And so instead of me ordering, 150 of them, I'm ordering 600 of them. And that's, I can't remember the last order. I want to say that was like, $380,000, $360,000 that I had to shell out to just sit on the shelf just to make sure I had enough inventory so I didn't get caught in a situation where, well, we got this part. So you got to remember, the mulchmate is, I think it's like 2,800 parts in a mulchmate. If one of those is missing, it doesn't go out the door.
Got it.
So it's not like I can not get a plant, or I can replace this plant. Instead of going with a hydrangea, I can go with a hosta or something, or a daylily for something else, right? It's not that easy for us. So we have to get it right, and we have to have every single component, or it just doesn't work.
You're not just pushing trucks out without chips in them?
Have you seen Kentucky Speedway out? Kentucky Speedway. When I left the expo, I drove by it. It is full. I mean, as far as the eye can see, of Ford trucks. They don't have chips.
Yeah. Well, I think what Will, when you got your truck, I think, they were like, oh, yeah, you don't need that chip. And you're like, no, why are you shortcutting me? Like,
Totally. The guy tried to shortchange me for sure. He's like, well, you could just plug in your iPhone and use that. I'm like, no. This is part of the asking price. I paid for it, so give it to me,
Yes.
Absolutely. Well,
that's good, the high quality level that you guys have. I mean, but like I said, you need it, because you're not making panini presses. I mean, you're in something that is, yeah, like you've got mechanisms in place so people don't hurt themselves. You're dealing with big equipment. So it's not, yeah, everything has to be there.
Yeah, I mean, just the tarp mechanism in our machine, where the heart of our patent lies, which is a whole other conversation, the patent process. The tarp tube, it can create over 20,000 pounds of force, is what it's rated for. So the chain mechanism that's in there is over 1.5 inches wide. Wow. It's something called double capacity chain. If you go Google it, you'll see it. It is ridiculous. And I think I've seen one in testing break, and it was unbelievable when it exploded. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to hear for 3 days. It is stronger than you'll ever believe.
That's crazy. That is. Man, I'm just hearing this whole story, you know, I'm super impressed, to be honest with you. You know, it sounds like you've, well, whatever, just your evolution of where you came from, where you're at today. It's a very cool story, how you've had, you know, systems influence your business decisions. It sounds to me like you have well thought out, you know, your lines and what you've put together. And I love the fact that, you know, I'm kind of a perfectionist myself. If you're going to put something out there and it's got your name on it, like, you want it to be right. And, you know, that's important when it comes to people investing in your product and what you put out there. And just to hear that that's what backs it. So I'm already a MulchMate fan. Just want to let you know.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
It's
amazing to hear that, because I was just a guy doing landscaping 10 years ago, you know, and to get the support we have today, it's quite honestly, it gives me chills.
You did the American dream. You started from nothing and now you're something.
It's possible. And a lot of people call it passion, and I have another word for passion I'm not going to use, but I call it obsession.
There you go.
Obsession will, you, if you're obsessed over something long enough, it'll happen. If you keep something at the forefront of your mind long enough, given enough time and enough effort, it's bound to happen.
Dude.
Fantastic. Any new products coming out on the horizon? Any sneak peeks of something you can release on from the field?
No, I can't. That is the number one question I get. I guess we've created this persona of, you know, new products coming. Right behind that wall back there is a whiteboard full of things that we want to come out with. Right now, I am focused on business strength and marketing strength.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about bringing out any more crazy innovative products just yet. There's plenty of ideas on the drawing board. There's plenty in CAD. But I want to make sure that this business is, you know, not only sustainable, but, you know, what happens if I get in a car accident tomorrow and I die, right? My crew needs to be taken care of. My family needs to be taken care of. The industry needs to be taken care of, because there are people that have bought our equipment that need the backing, that need to make sure that if they need a part, if they need whatever, right? This product, this, you know, entity that we've created, is strong enough to be run without me, and or any of my other people. So that's really what we're focused on right now. We'll trust me, there's some things coming that we're bench testing right now that will blow your mind, that I think will erupt this industry in the next couple of years.
You bring up a good point that a lot of our listeners, both, you know, growers and landscapers, that is a big thing on their mind. How do I get my business self-sustaining? Or where, like I said, if I get, you know, I get hit on my motorcycle or whatever, what's there? What, just, and you don't have to get into too much detail, but high level, what are a couple of things you're looking at and doing that? Because a lot of folks they don't even know where to start.
So first things first, mindset. Your mindset has to be that I'm going to sell this entity one day. I love looking at the positive on everything. If you think of it like, oh, what if I die? You're going to kind of act scared, right? But if you look at it and go, no, why am I running this business? Is this just an ATM machine that I'm making here? Or do I want to be able to create an ATM machine that I can sell one day and somebody's going to pay me for it? That's the big thing. So, like, number one thing that will completely shake people up is, because it happens everywhere, is don't name the business after yourself, because then you're locking yourself into that business. So if it's, you know, it's Johnny's Lawn Care, whatever, right? First off, if you name it Lawn Care, you're stuck in Lawn Care. I made that mistake. My first company was called Laser Cut Lawn Care. So everyone just knew me as a grass cutter, nothing else. So I had to rebrand the company to Laser Cut Property Services, because when I said property services, I could get into cleaning, I could get into landscaping, hardscape, it could be nearly anything, right? And it was called Laser Cut. It wasn't called Nick's Lawn Care. It's harder to sell something when you're basically selling yourself. So when I sold my company, I remember in the meetings, my phone never rang. And they're like, well, why isn't your phone ringing? You know, that worries us. And I said, well, why? Why, why, why do you want my phone to ring? Well, you're not busy. I said, I'm not supposed to be busy. My company's supposed to be busy, right? And so I went in my phone and I said, okay, well, here's the call log from all the calls we've received today. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, you don't want the owner's phone blowing up. You want the systems blowing up. That's what you want, the activity. And too many people get too worried about being busy instead of being productive, right? And so setting up a phone system where, you know, if you need to turn this off for a second and focus on a client, you can. You can just transfer that call to an answering service. You need to make sure that your business isn't just lawn care or landscaping or whatever it is you're into. It could be anything. It's, to me, it's a data collection system. So you're only as good as the data that you collect, right? Mm-hmm. And so get all the emails, get all the addresses, because one day when a company comes to buy you, you need to have a book of business to hand them. And most landscape guys don't do that. They're just worried about making money. Well, that's like maybe 45% of the equation is making money, right? If you have a good system, like a good CRM system, like I use Service Autopilot, big on Service Autopilot. I hear there's new systems like LMN, Jobber, all these different systems. You need to have a place to put all the data that you're collecting and shove it into that one spot, and it keeps it nice and organized. So one day when somebody comes, you can just go, here are the keys. And you can walk away from it, and it will continue to run.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, that's it's groundwork stuff. Guys don't think about it because, you know, you said they are focused on, you know, maybe some nitty gritty details. In the long, like in the big run, or oh man, it's Friday. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. So,
yeah, too many people worry about making money and not creating a system that is sustainable. And I get that. We're all. Yeah, we get so wrapped up in this rat race. I get that. But I've always believed if you do your job right, the money will come. Period.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
There you go.
Amen.
You're not wrong.
Well, I would ask you too, man. You just had some great advice, you know, just for, you know, definitely some good stuff for people to think about and chew on as far as even their own business. You know, the next thing we think about too is really the future of our industry and where the successors lie. And it sounds like something you've built already, a business with a succession plan in place as you're building it, which is killer. I have to think, we think about it often as like, who's taking the torch from all of us once we're gone? You know, like what would you tell like a young and up and coming entrepreneur? If you could go back and talk to Nick as a young man, what would you tell him to do differently?
Oh, it's very, very simple. Find a mentor. Find the guy that's doing what you want to do and go work for him. Go give him your time. I've had plenty of guys come to me and say, look, will you just let me ride in your car for a week? And I'd go, sure. Yeah, you can come with me. And I would sit there and teach them. And I can tell you, out of, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 people I've done that with, I bet you 15 of them are millionaires now because they invested in themselves. They found a guy that was doing what they wanted to do. They went and took the nuggets they found for me and other people that they went to. I'm not the be-all, end-all. I just have a certain few good nuggets here and there that they took. They went and created their own recipe, right? And they were able to skip over some of the big mistakes that I made that they could have made. And they were to make successful businesses by simply just getting a mentor and it's copy-paste. I mean, one of the guys that's near me in Annapolis, Maryland, he literally drives the same trucks, same colors, same logo, same locks, same equipment. It every time I see him, I'm like, wow, dude, even the shirts you wear are identical to what I had. He goes, it worked. Why would I change it? I'm like, yeah, touche, Hoss, touche.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good people out there. And I think the one thing that people don't do is ask for that mentorship. They think, you know, that's a weird conversation to have, honestly, when you're thinking about it. You gotta have some guts to go up to someone, I mean, like yourself, I mean, in your big stature and be like, I want to hang out with you. I want to learn. Like it's flattering, but like, I think that it takes some gumption to do that.
I'll tell you a real quick story. So where I learned it was I was pretty young and I was buying a new race car. And it was in a new series that I had never been in. And, you know, I have championships. I'm not just a racer. Like, I have a trophy room. So I'm not a clown. I know what I'm doing. And I was going a new series. I didn't know what I was doing in that series. I had no idea. But the guys I bought the car from were champions in that series. And so when I walked in their race shop, I mean, we're talking about guys that had a racetrack that they paved in their front yard in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I mean, these guys were the real deal. You pull the car out of their shop, and they are racing it in their yard. They're testing right there. So they know what they're doing, right? So when I walked into that in that race shop, opened the door, and I walked in with a tail between my legs, I said, guys, I've been in racing for a long time, but this series, I have no idea. Absolutely no idea what I'm doing. And you know what they did? They respected that humble approach. And those boys took me under their wing and said, we'll teach you anything you need to know. Anything. And to this day, that was like 2011, 2012, something like that. To this day, they still call me, hey man, how's it going? How's mulch mate? You know, even though I've taken a break from racing for a little while, that humble approach, people, decent people, you'll be able to find very quickly, and they're willing to help you. People love to share what they know because they're proud of it, and they should be. And all of us have nuggets. So don't be afraid to walk in and just go, hey man, I'm here because I respect what you do. And more than likely, they're going to be able to help you. And if they don't, that's just not the right person for you, and you don't want to be around them.
Some solid advice right there.
No doubt. Well, Nick, I got to tell you, man, we're super enjoying this conversation. This is probably one of the more fun episodes I think we've put together. You know, I'm already thinking like, man, we need to do an episode 2 with you, which would be great. Yeah. Just to, you know, kind of check back in with you, see if we can get an update on what's behind the wall back there. Right. But, you know, lastly, I do want to make sure that our audience and folks that are listening, they can understand how to dig into MulchMate. How do they purchase it? You know, what would you, you know, how can they learn more about you? Here's your chance. Tell us your shtick and just tell people how can they learn more about you and actually get engaged with you, Nick. That's it.
So super simple. You can always just go to mulchmateusa.com. That's where all of our products live. In order to purchase things like a MulchMate or a DMT or a TruckMate, you have to email us. We have to make sure we check your vehicle, make sure it's, you know, going to work. We want to make sure we walk you through that process. Hold your hand, really. That's what we're doing. You just go online, fill out a submission form, and you go right in our system. Goes right to our sales team, and they take great care of you. If it really gets technical and it needs to get past my guys, it'll come to me, and I will be there to help you out through the whole way. I give out my personal information all the time just because that's my job. It's what I do. Any social media. So you go online, you just Google MulchMate, any social media platform we're out there. I'm on LinkedIn personally at Nick, what is it? Nick Carlson. I think it's just all it is. But if you're going to DM us or send us a message, I'm going to be the one replying. I mean, literally from my phone, I am very, very easily accessible, willing to help, willing to be there for whoever. They got a good attitude. I'm in, man. I'll be there to help in any way I possibly can.
Killer. That's awesome. I got one question for you. When's the helmet going back on?
So funny. So I have a late model, and I just bought a Legends car again because the late model requires a lot of people, a lot of money. Yeah. And right now, I just don't have the time to run that car. So it's not going bad. It's sitting there. It's up on jack stand currently. So bought the Legends car because I can run it by myself. I can push it into a trailer. I can run it. I can wreck it. I can put it back together. I don't need anybody's help. It's small, simple. Bought one a couple months ago, and the guy's like, oh, the frame's straight, the motor's great, motor's blowing up, frame's bent. Go figure. Lord. So God rest his soul, he passed away like 2 weeks after I bought it. But bent the frame back, got the motor rebuilt by Hank Scott down in North Carolina, and got the car all the way back together, got the seat in it, got everything changed to fit me because my stature's not small. So it took a lot of massaging of things. And I finished it, scaled it, set it up, got it done, fueled up, ready to go. And the next day, went to go to the racetrack, last race of the season, and it rained. So she's on jack stands. I got my suit. Everything's ready to rock and roll. You can see all it on Instagram. If you, I think my personal Instagram is BigNick0909 on Instagram. You can follow me there. I'll accept you on there. But there's something called the Turkey Bowl down in Canley, North Carolina at Southern National. Yeah. I'd really love to go to that and strap back in and do it. I'm ready. Everything's ready. It's just a matter of, do I have the time?
Yeah. Awesome. This is great to hear, man. Good luck. Keep us in the loop on that.
Yeah,
for sure. You too, man. I'm just a racer. Just love doing it, man. It's just fun.
Cool. Well, Nick, thank you again for joining us today on From the Field. Like I said, incredible story, incredible products that you're putting out on the market. You've got some solid thought patterns to building a business, and I really hope that folks enjoy this episode and dig in just as much as we enjoyed it ourselves. Again, thank you, Nick, for joining us today. We appreciate you, and we look forward to having you back.
Will do. Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Good deal. Have a great weekend.
You too.